Today we come into God's house announcing that He is good, He is wonderful, and His love endures forever. Let us prepare hearts and minds to meet Him in worship.
I'm not sure where Gay went, but we'll skip ahead. Here she comes. She done had enough of us.
Well, I've lost something. I don't know where it is.
What's new? Sorry.
These are the kinds of dreams that ministers have, by the way, that you forget your script or you can't find your Bible or you forgot what you were going to preach about that day. These things happen, but the Lord is always good to us. So God is good and all the time. What a proclamation to make each Sunday that we acknowledge that God is the one who is good. He's good to us, but He is good in and of itself, the very definition of all that is good. And so it's in His name that we greet you today and encourage you, if you are with us for the first time or if you've never done so before, fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today so that we can get to know you. And there's also prayer cards on the back of the pew in front of you. If you have any needs or anything you would like to lift up, we would encourage you to do so today so we can share that with our prayer team and with our deacons. I want to remind you of The One Starry Night invitation cards are still in the vestibule. If you have a place where you could place a couple of these at your business or in your neighborhood, or if you have friends or family you'd like to invite, you can also turn it over and write their name and address and put a stamp on it and use it as a postcard. So those are in the vestibule today. Please take some of those with you as you go. And to remind you that if you're interested at all in participating in the One Starry Night opportunity, we do have a meeting today at 4 o'clock. Is that going to be here in the sanctuary or in the fellowship hall?
Let's do it here.
Okay. It'll be here in the sanctuary at 4 o'clock for that meeting. And if you've not signed up for a part but you'd like to know what's available, there's all kinds of things. We need people to help with parking. We need people to help driving a golf cart. We need people to help directing the flow of pedestrian traffic as well. We need people who can sit in a booth and hand out things. You don't have to memorize lines necessarily. There's a lot of things that you could do. We need people who can help with registration. We need people who can help just being in a costume and wandering around will be a big help. The more costume people we have, the more interesting and authentic the experience will be for our guests. We are expecting a lot of folks to come. The response that we have had from the community through Facebook especially has been really huge. So we could see quite a lot. We're talking hundreds possibly of people coming. Now you never know, it might be 10 people, but it'll still be worth it because it'll be such a wonderful experience for us who participate in it, even as much as for those who come to be a part of it. So today at 4, if you can come, please come. I want to also let you know and remind you that the Toy In Gathering is next Sunday. You can read more about that in the newsletter. I think there's something in the bulletin about it as well. But just make sure you're aware that's coming up early this year. You want to bring those toys to be a part of next Sunday's service. If you signed up to write a devotional for our Advent devotion, really excited about how many people we had all the days covered pretty much. People who are writing those, it'd be a great opportunity for us to hear from our membership some reflections and thoughts about the Advent and Christmas season. But if you wrote one of those or if you signed up for one of those, make sure you turn that in today. Today is the deadline. We need time to assemble that and print that so that we can have it for you for next Sunday so that you can begin when Advent begins. So that's today is the deadline for that. And finally, I want to just highlight something that was in the newsletter you may have seen or had questions about. You'll notice that our Christmas Eve service is at 5 o'clock, as always, on Christmas Eve. But at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 4:30, we have an additional service, a very short 30-minute memorial service, a prayer service. This is open for anyone who's widowed or grieving the loss of someone, whether it be a child or a family member or a friend even. This is a 30-minute time to come together and prayerfully remember them, to seek God's strength and comfort during the holiday season before we gather at 5 o'clock for our Christmas Eve candlelight communion service. It's something new that we're doing this year, but we think that there is definitely a need for that. All of us are grieving at this time of year, even as we're celebrating. So it's an opportunity to acknowledge that. If you'd like to know more about that, you can talk to David or to myself. We can share a little bit about what we think that will look like. Today, as we worship, we are on the eve of the holiday season, aren't we? Things are about to get crazy, as they say, and things are about to get hectic. So we take this day as a quiet before the storm to reflect on how we want to approach this season of Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas, New Year's. The whole thing is one great swirl of celebration and busyness. How do we want to approach this year's celebrations? How do we want to embody Christ during the holiday season? Would you let that guide you as you worship together today, as we continue to worship with our scripture reading from Matthew?
Well, I wanted to read to you Matthew 11, 28 through 30 from the Message. And that's what I was frantically trying to find. I had it printed out to read. Well, I don't know where I put it. It's somewhere in the church, but I don't know where. So I'm going to read from you this morning from the New International. And thank you, Susan, for giving me big print, because when I got that one out of the pew, it was so little, I was like, oh, good grief, I can't even see the words. So here we go. Lord bless the reading of this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And right now I think I need that, because I'm all uptight for can't find what I was looking for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we do get overwhelmed and so burdened so easily. And right now, I just ask you to lift those burdens from our hearts and just let you come into our hearts right now, Lord. Take those away from us and just let your light shine in our hearts. And with Thanksgiving coming up, Lord, just let us be blessed and think of the blessings that you have given us all through the years and through our lives. Let us count your blessings one by one, Lord. And let us be thankful for this, the season that's coming. Let us rejoice for this season. And don't let the busyness of the season get us down. Let us rejoice in your name, that we can praise you through this season. And let us see Christ in everything that we do. And let others see Christ in us as we get through. And let us get through this stressful season, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, may thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn of praise this morning is Seek Ye First. Let's stand and let's worship together.
If you're new to the church, every year we get together with other congregations around Elon, First Methodist, Shiloh. We get together with Community Church and Elon First Baptist Church to have a community-wide Thanksgiving service. And this year we're excited that this will be hosted over at Community Church just down the road from us. It's a time to celebrate what we have to be thankful for together. And this year I'm preaching. It's my rotation. We kind of rotate through. I'm always nervous preaching, but especially around unfamiliar faces. So you can help me greatly if you come so that I have some familiar faces to look at while I preach. It's at 7 p.m. this coming Tuesday is the community service. And we will be taking up a special offering, a collection for allied churches of Alamance County, which you may have heard different things through the media, but they are still providing housing for the homeless and providing an evening meal for those who need it. And they desperately need support and financial support specifically. So we will be taking up that offering. If you're not able to come on Tuesday, but you would still like to add and contribute to that special offering, you can send that through to Janice sometime this week before Tuesday. or even after, or send that directly to Allied Churches if you like. They do have online giving. If you're an online giver, you can go to their website, and they have a link, a place that you can click and give that way as well. But it's a wonderful time to come together and celebrate as a community. And we especially enjoy the fact that after the service, there's refreshments. So if you like to eat, there'll be some treats there for you, some heavy hors d'oeuvres, and a time to meet some of those members of the community that you don't always get to see. So I encourage you to be there for that. As we continue to worship, we turn to our offertory hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's number 14 in your hymnal. If you're able, would you please stand?
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, it has become a custom that we pause at this point in the service so that each of us might make our private confession to you. As we pause, O Lord, search our hearts and show us if there is any wickedness within us. And give us grace that we might confess and mercy that we might receive the love that endureth forever. Let us pray. O God, with weak knees we come before you, trembling, for we are people with unclean lips. Like the prophet, we say, O God, our lives are in danger just by being in your presence. And yet it is not so, for your mercy has covered us. Your word assures us of your forgiveness for those who seek it. For those who ask, receive. Those who knock, the door is open. So, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us and shore us up so that as we stand before you, we might do so in the confidence of your sacrifice. And we do indeed, Lord, need to stand before you. We stand before you today because there are others who cannot. There are others who have fallen, who are weak, who are shut in, who are bedridden, who are battling cancer and sickness and ailment of all kind, and they cannot stand. We stand for those who are oppressed, whose heavy burden is the heavy hand of governments, of systems, of peoples who oppress and weigh them down. We stand for those, O God, in prayer. We stand for those who are hungry and hurting, those little ones, those little hands reaching out, those little eyes looking up, those little lips moving in prayer. We stand for them. We stand, O Lord, for our government, indeed for all governments, that they might do your work and your will. And we stand, O Lord, for our enemies, that they may not be our enemies any longer, that they might have hearts that turn, or perhaps we have to turn. O Lord, you will show us what is good and pleasing and right. And Lord, we stand for ourselves, that indeed in worship our minds might be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, working in the world, working in our own life. We might be turned around and stand no longer on our own two feet, but stand purely by the strength of the Spirit to do all that you will and want for us to do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
of my favorite professors of preaching, Dr. William Turner, begins every class by singing his deep bass voice, "Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us." What a thought to invoke the name of He who is Spirit to fall fresh on us today. Would you pray with me as we seek just that? Mold us, melt us, make us, form us, redirect us, reimagine us, and transform us. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you a number of scenarios this morning. I want you to try to imagine if you can see yourself in these scenarios, even if just a little bit, even if only in part. You can indicate that with an amen or a grunt or a groan, for it might be more appropriate. But imagine these different scenarios, and do they sound familiar to yourself? For example, the one where you find yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve with a sea of little microscopic parts all spread out before you as you try to assemble something for someone you love, only to find the instructions are only in Japanese. And there you are frantically Googling, if you know how to Google, trying to find some English translation. Or perhaps you find, I'll take your chuckles, as the majority of you can identify with that. Or perhaps you found yourself at some point, especially on the very first Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal you were ever personally responsible for, and your mama or grandma made it look so easy. And yet here it is for you, 3 hours before go time, and that bird is sitting on the counter, frozen solid. I thought for sure it would thaw out by now. Or at least it has some of that ice, you know, caked up inside of it. You got burned rice and the gravy won't set up. You don't know what's going on with the green bean casserole. And you could have sworn when you were making out your menu that you had at least 5 ovens, right? And yet here you are with sweat pouring off of you. Your makeup's running if you're wearing it. And you don't know what went wrong. Can I get an amen? Or perhaps you know this sob story. There you are scrolling through your online bank account or credit card report, or you have papers spread out before you. It's mid-January, and you're looking down a long, long, long list of stuff, and you wonder, who did I buy all this for? I thought I said I was going to keep it simple this year. And yet you look at a bill that you don't know how in the world you will manage. Have you ever been invited to so many Christmas parties you showed up at the wrong party on the wrong day? I have. Maybe you know that feeling. You can identify with having to bounce from Sunday school to office party to class party to scout party to other party, to this party, to that party, and you think if you have to eat one more bite of fruitcake, you will become one yourself. By the way, I don't trust fruitcake. I don't know what that green thing is in there. Is it a jelly bean? You don't have to tell me what it is. But you find yourself feeling like you're in a pure swirl. Amen. Or you can identify with that experience of finding yourself in a never-ending line. I swear, sometimes during the Christmas season, it feels like the line is going this way instead of that way. And the longer I sit in it, the further away from the cash register I get. And there's only one open. There's only one open. And you're not getting out unless you go through her. Or you find yourself waiting for that thing that you know that they really, really need, or they really, really want, and you got to get that deal, and you got to go at the right time, at the right spot, at the right hour, and be there and get some kind of ticket here so that you can get a ticket there. And I would swear I was at one line one time many Christmases ago, and they started passing out little bottles of five-hour energy drink. And I thought to myself, 5 hour? I'm done. It's a swirl of hectic, fast pace running from here to there that begins long before Thanksgiving and goes all the way through New Year's Eve and through on into Valentine's Day, where there's one thing after another to do, one place after another to be, one thing after another to buy. Hothismas Eve is what I call it. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, it's all one big thing these days. You can't distinguish one event from the next when you walk through the marketplace, can you? It's all coming at us so fast. And raise your hand if you feel like you cannot believe we are already here again this year. And what do we tell ourselves in January every year? I'm not going to do that again. Next year, I'm going to take it easy. Next year, I'm going to slow down, because we hear the song, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. But the real white Christmas we long for is a little more white on our calendar and a little bit less gray penciled in. And we say, next year, we're going to take it easy. Next year, we'll keep it simple. Next year, we'll be a little more frugal. Next year, we'll cook less and spend more time with each other. And yet, next year comes and we are in the same rotation, the same rotation. We feel like a rotisserie chicken, just turning and turning and baking in our own sweat. Why do we do it? There is something to be said for those who do so much because they want everybody to be happy and to have a good experience. But even that is a form of selfishness, isn't it? When we come down to it, it's often about keeping up our reputation, meeting other people's expectations, even if we are wrong about what they expect. You know, 9 times out of 10, the family would be okay with just one 20-pound turkey. But we give in to this mantra, this mentality of meeting the needs of others, because if we feel like we haven't met their needs or haven't lived up to the reputation or haven't outdone ourselves from last year, if we don't keep outdoing ourselves, we feel like failures. We don't like that feeling. And so we find that the feeling is mastering us and forcing us to do more and more and more. Or we like the praise. How many times do we hear people come back from mission trips or engaging in a mission project and say the same thing? You know, I feel like I got more out of that than they did. Sound familiar? It's because even that is a sense, there's a little twinge of self-service there. Sometimes we become slaves to the good that it makes us feel, that warm fuzzy that we get from doing so much and spending so much. We want our kids to have everything we couldn't have, but maybe they shouldn't have it. That's a hard thing to consider. Maybe there's something very formative and powerful about waking up and not having everything on Christmas morning. Maybe there's something powerful and formative about coming to the table and having enough food and not an excessive amount of food. But we give in to our human nature. As I always say, we are people and we do people-ish things. And this is one of them. We are one way or another storing up some kind of a treasure, either a very temporary treasure, that good feeling, that feeling of success or accomplishment, that feeling like we made our kids happy for one day, or we watched them play with that toy for that hour that they enjoyed it. We feel like we have been successful in giving everybody what they expected. We outdid ourselves from last year, and we don't feel guilty, or at least not for this hour. But those are temporary treasures, aren't they? Before long, we start to think about all the things we did wrong, or how we could have made it better, or before long, we sit around the table long enough and we're so tired and worn out that we're grumpy, or we can't carry on a decent conversation. But the other kinds of treasures are more lasting. In other words, those treasures we find when we spend more time with people than money on them. The treasure when we spend more time with them, engaged and enjoying each other, than we do spending just money on them out of a sense of obligation or tradition. There are those treasures when we have that holiday experience that we'll never forget, and it didn't cost a dime. We just sat around and popped popcorn and told stories about our past, or listen to grandparents share about the way things used to be, or remember that Christmas when we all played Monopoly together. It's those kinds of treasures that carry with us, or the treasure of engaging in ministry or together, going to the soup kitchen as a family, or going and getting an angel tree off of the angel tree and going as a family to shop for that person. Those are treasures. Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel not to store up treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourselves, he says in Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. There is a very materialistic sense to this that it could be very obvious and surface that Jesus is talking about not storing up lots of gold and silver and storing up grain in big barns and just hoarding everything for yourself. He's told other parables about that, hasn't he? Where you wake up and it's your deathbed and now all these possessions are, who will they claim? Who do they belong to now? You can't take it with you when you go. But there's something deeper to what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of treasures. There are things that we hold on to. I think one way to define treasure is that which you cling to and won't let go of, even if it is irrational to hold on to it. For example, sometimes we treasure our hurts, don't we? Somebody wounds us, and in a weird, sick kind of way, we treasure our anger, our bitterness, our grudge, because we cannot let go of it. We cling to it. We carry it around with us everywhere. Therefore, by its very nature, it is something we value for some reason. I need my grudges, I heard one man say. And so we find ourselves unwilling to sit at the table with certain family members. Maybe we haven't sat at the table with them in years. Maybe all it would take is a phone call or showing up unexpected. We treasure those things sometimes, and we treasure our reputation. Sometimes we do, as we said earlier, all that we do just so that we are the best. Everybody knows that he or she's got the best turkey, the best casserole, the best kept house. They throw the best parties. Those are treasures. Nothing is more treasured than our stuff. How many of you, by show of hands, have moved in the last 5 or 10 years? How guilty did you feel when you found that box? And I know you did. If you're like me, you did. You found that box that you had not unpacked from the last move. Still haven't. Our stuff consumes us, and we cling to it. We store it up in our attic, in corners of the attic, in back closets. We even rent building so that we could put our stuff away. And we know where our stuff is. And we can get to our stuff if we ever need our stuff. But you know, the only time you're ever going to need it is when you finally throw it away. But stuff is a treasure on earth. And Jesus says, these things, they don't last. They don't go with you to the other side. Let go of your hate, your grudges, your sense of reputation, your sense of guilt, your shame. We even treasure shame sometimes because we will not let it go. And we carry it with us everywhere we go, holding on to it like it is something valuable. It's worth nothing. Let it go. To the contrast, he says in verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. These are those kinds of treasures that we spoke of about seeing the child alone and knowing it's time for you to put down what you're doing and play a game of Uno with the grandkids. Those are treasures that go with you wherever, into eternity even. I think they linger with us. Those treasures of service and love and mercy. The treasure of forgiveness. What greater gift could you give a family member or a friend who you have not spoken to in decades and years because of something that they said or did or hurt you or wronged you in some way? What greater gift could you give this Christmas than forgiveness? And sometimes they don't accept it or don't want it, but it's a treasure you've given nonetheless. Treasures like that are lasting. Treasures like presence in the life of those who are mourning and grieving. Sometimes it is so hard for us to do such a little thing like pick up the phone and say to someone, I know you'll be hurting this year. It's your first Christmas without whomever. But what a treasure, both given and received. Jesus reminds us that these are the kinds of things that matter in this world and in the next. And that to do them is to do life well, to live rightly. He goes on to say something a little cryptic here, where in verse 21 he says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If you put your heart in the things of this earth and the things of this world, that's where your heart will stay. But if your heart is in love with the things above, goodness, mercy, righteousness, gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit, for instance, then your heart will be in the kingdom. In verse 22, he tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. This is kind of an ancient Near Eastern understanding of biology here that he's giving us, this idea that our eyes are like little lamps that are shining out, and whatever they hit is reflected back, and without a lamp you cannot see. And so he says that the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I don't know if you can identify with this, but perhaps think about it this way. Have you ever damaged your eye or had some procedure done where you couldn't see very well, or perhaps you're losing your vision even now? Or you've gone to the eye doctor and they dilated you and you couldn't see nothing. Well, actually, you can almost see too much. Whenever you've gone through those experiences of where your eyes are damaged and your vision is blurred or impaired or completely blocked out by a patch or a bandage, you cannot see what's out there. Someone hands you something to drink. You do not know if it's Coca-Cola or poison. You have no sense about you, about what is real and what isn't. You're almost living by trust, and not everybody's trustworthy. If your eyes are damaged, it damages the whole experience of your body because you cannot see. But if your eyes are healthy, you might see people. You might see the need around you. You might see the opportunities to store up treasures in heaven. You might see that that child doesn't need that thing as much as they need you and the experience of you. And so once our eyes are open, we can see clearly what is good and perfect and what is the will of God, to return to our Romans chapter 12 passage. And now this iconic final instruction: no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. When I was a teenager in high school, I worked for Joe's Barbecue. It's one of the iconic restaurants in Whiteville, Columbus County area. And my job was to go out to the smokehouse and load up the wheelbarrow with the hams and the shoulders and bring it inside and grind it all up and get it ready for seasoning and saucing and all of that. It was a great place to work, good money. The only problem was the business was officially owned by Little Joe. But Big Joe was still alive and well and around and bossy. And one of the worst experiences about that was that you might be told to do something one way by Little Joe and another way by Big Joe. And you could never convince the other one. It was always your fault. You cannot serve two masters because you're going to make them both angry. And you'll never be able to give 100% to each. And Jesus calls on that imagery to say that you can either serve the needs that are emotional, spiritual, immaterial, developmental, missional, or you can be focused on stuff and wealth and on excessive amounts of food and drink. He says you cannot serve both God and wealth. What if this Advent and Christmas season, even beginning with Thanksgiving, what if we really did it this year? What if we spent more time on people than money? What if we really did keep things simple and cook just enough? And what if we really did avoid some of the crowds and the hustle and the lines? What if we really did spend more time with family than we did running around buying things for family members? What if we really did just throw those Japanese instructions away? What if we really did spend more money on the needs of the community than on trying to give our children and grandchildren, aunts and uncles and cousins, everything that they ever wanted? It's a big what if. But the question remains that Jesus is telling us the things that matter, that's where our treasure should be. That's where our hearts should be focused. And I would encourage you this holiday season to turn the TV off, turn the radio off, turn the key off the ignition, and just simplify. Spend less, eat less, spend more time loving and caring for one another, and spend time in God's Word again. Rediscover the Christmas story. Find again those verses that are the foundation for why we're doing this all in the first place. And meet God all over again. Make time to spend with Him on a daily basis this Christmas. Whether it's 15 minutes or an hour, chunk out that piece of time to sit down with Him every day and engage. For after all, we are told that Jesus in the manger is the greatest treasure of all, lest we not forget. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we are so humbled by these words from Jesus, words that convict us, but Lord, they give us permission to live. And at the end, we know that they will lead us to joy and peace and happiness. And may we seek these things above all the materialistic wants and wishes of the world. Again, oh God, we go back to that prayer from Romans 12, that we would not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning, we invite you to respond to God's word, to respond as He has spoken to you, and to follow as He leads as we sing our hymn of response, "More Love to Thee, O Christ." Isn't that the prayer and the challenge and the call for us to give more love to the Father this holiday season? If you're able, would you please stand and respond? Receive this blessing as we go. The peace of Christ, the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ be upon you and in you and through you, giving you all peace in all things and all moments of this holiday season. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.